Good morning, everybody. I hope that you all had a lovely Christmas. But I suspect for many of you, it wasn't a normal Christmas. Maybe you couldn't see your grandparents, or maybe you just had to choose one side of the family to see. And it feels like we've been waiting for the end of coronavirus for a long time now. It's been 9 months, but hopefully the end's in sight, maybe. I wonder how good you are at waiting. Are you a patient person? How were you before Christmas? Were you waiting patiently for Christmas Day? Or were you really overexcited to open your presents? Well, this morning, we're going to meet a woman who was amazing at waiting patiently. She waited about 64 years to meet Jesus. 64 years! That's a really long time. When Jesus was just 40 days old, still a tiny baby, his parents took him to be presented at the temple as the law required them to. And there they met two people, a man called Simeon and a woman called Anna. Not yet, Andrew. God chose them to be the witnesses of Jesus' presentation. And we're going to find out about Anna this morning, and we'll start by reading what it says in the Bible. So grab your Bibles. You might already have them to hand. And turn, please, to Luke chapter 2. Now, I'll put the gallery up. Give me a wave when you've got your Bibles, so I can see that you're ready. Excellent. I can see some silks waving there and some creeds. Brilliant. And some Grimshaws and Townsends and Thackerays. Excellent. Great. Well done, everyone. So, Luke chapter 2, and then turn over to verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, we are going to travel back in time now and find out a bit more about her. We're going to be going back in time over 2,000 years. But kids, I'm going to need your help with this. Okay, what you need to do, you need to put your hands up either side of you like this. Brilliant. Excellent. I can see a few hands up. And you need to go down like this. Okay, and we'll go. We're here. We've made it back 2,000 years. We're in Jerusalem in the year 1 AD. And I think here's Anna. We can meet her. Brilliant. Hello, Anna. How are you? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, my father's name was Penuel, and he's from the tribe of Asher.
Well, did you say the tribe of Asher?
Yes. Why?
Well, I can't think of a single person in the whole Bible who's from that tribe.
Yes, that's true. None of my ancestors were kings or prophets or mighty warriors.
Wow. Well, you'd have thought that God would have picked someone from one of the better known tribes, maybe a priest from Levi or the descendant of a king from Judah. Well, unless God wants to show us that anyone can meet Jesus, you don't have to be special or famous.
Well, thanks for that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that was a bit rude, wasn't it? But whilst I'm being rude, do you mind me asking how old you are?
Not at all. I'm very proud of my age. I'm 84 years old, and I've been a widow for 64 years. I come to the temple every day.
Every day? Surely you're joking. What do you do?
I pray to God, and I praise God. Sometimes I go without food so that I can pray better. That's called fasting.
Wow. Thanks, Anna. That's quite a life. And you've been waiting all this time.
Yes, I've been waiting for the redemption of Israel. And meeting Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, has made my entire life worthwhile.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
It's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That was really interesting, wasn't it? And it's great to see that God picked a widow from a relatively unknown tribe to be his witness. That means that any of us can be friends with Jesus. You don't have to be special or famous. And wasn't it humbling to hear that Anna spent every day worshipping and praising God? And worshipping God isn't just something that prophets like Anna or Christian ministers do. We should all be setting aside some time each day to worship and praise God. But thankfully, we don't have to travel to the temple to do it. We can worship God anywhere. Now, Anna said something a bit strange, didn't she? She said that she had been waiting for the redemption of Israel. That's a strange phrase. The redemption of Israel. What does that mean? Well, if someone needs to be redeemed, that means that they're a slave and they can only be rescued if someone else pays their ransom. Well, the Israelites have been slaves to lots of different nations over the centuries. The Egyptians, the Philistines, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and now the Romans. But they actually had a bigger problem. They were enslaved by sin. Enslaved by sin. Because the Israelites kept ignoring God and going their own way, they were under God's judgment. And it's impossible to rescue yourself from this. So they needed someone else to redeem them. And Anna recognized that this 40-day-old little baby was how God was going to redeem Israel. Jesus would grow up, live a perfect life, and then die on the cross to pay the price that Israel needed in order to be free from their sins and the judgment of God. And that's why she praised God and told everyone in the temple about who Jesus was and what he'd been sent to do. Now, I wonder if you've seen the Tesco advert on TV this year. You'd definitely remember it if you have. There's Britney Spears music playing, and then loads of people pop up saying that they've done bad things this year, mostly COVID-related, like buying too much toilet roll, and they're worried they're going to be on Santa's naughty list. Then Tesco come along and tell them there is no naughty list. Tesco say that they're in charge, and so all our sins can be forgotten, just like that. Well, Tesco are not in charge, and sins can't just be forgotten about. God is in charge, and sins need to be paid for. But thankfully, God has sent Jesus to pay for our sins. That's what Anna recognized when she saw Jesus. God showed her that Jesus was going to be the one to die for sins. That's what she meant when she said that Jesus was the redemption of Israel. And can you remember what Anna did next? Well, let's look back in the Bible at verse 38. She spoke about the child to everyone. She was so excited about Jesus. She'd been waiting her whole life to meet him, that when she finally did, she couldn't stop talking about Jesus to everyone. Now, there are lots of things we've learned from Anna today. We've learned that we can all know Jesus, that we don't have to be special or clever. We've learned that God deserves to be worshipped daily, and that we should be talking about him to others. And we learned that God sent Jesus to redeem the world, to die and to pay the price for our sins so that we can be friends with him. Have you learned these things today? Are you excited by Jesus? Well, let's praise God for sending Jesus and ask him to give us boldness to talk to our friends and family who don't know him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this story about Anna. Thank you for her faithfulness and her patience and her excitement about meeting Jesus. We pray that you would give us that same excitement about knowing Jesus, that we might praise you daily and talk about him with our family and friends. It can be hard sometimes, God, so please give us boldness and help us as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pete, Katrina, any questions?
Yeah, we've got one question so far. And so if anyone else is just considering whether they have a question, do feel free to put it on the chat to me, or if you want to use my WhatsApp and you've got that, then please, you're very welcome to use that as well. So Pete, the question I have already is from Chloe, and it is, does fasting have a place in the modern Christian life?
Oh, super question, Chloe. Yes, I know Christians have different opinions on this. I know some Christians who have fasted and have found it very, very useful. And I know lots of others who haven't. I think it seems to be the case where often when there's a sort of an urgent prayer need, people will often come together and fast to pray. I don't think there's a law on it. I don't think it's something that you have to do or anything that, but yes, it's something that could be worth trying. Maybe we should try it as a church one day.